Okay, let's go to the scriptures which speak about the first day of the week, because you had a question about the foundation in the Christian world for the Sunday worship. And repeating what we just spoke about. The Revelation chapter 1 speaks about the day, the Lord's day, but we have to be very aware of that revelation was not given in Greek language. It, according to verse 1, it is a revelation that God gave Yeshua the Messiah. And God does not speak with Yeshua in Greek, because Yeshua was not a Greek-speaking person. He was speaking Hebrew and Aramaic. So the revelation is a translation from a Semitic language. And then it was translated to English or Chi language or any other language. So we have to be very careful to make doctrines out of translations. And that expression we have there is very rare. I can't find it, as I don't know if I can find it anywhere else in the scripture. The most similar is what we have in the Hebrew scripture, Yom Adonai, that means the day of the Lord. And it's a judgment day. Yeah, judgment and visitation. That could be both positive and negative. And also Yom Kippur is called the day of the Lord. When we were celebrating yesterday, Yom Kippur, in one of the prayers we made in the synagogue, it was referred to Yom Kippur as the day of the Lord, according to Joel chapter 2, I think. So that's a day of judgment, and that could be positive and negative, right? And then you spoke about Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice on it, in it. And I refer to that psalm as one of the songs we sing on every festival in Israel, except Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So during Passover, Pesach, 7 days, Shavuot, 1 day, and Sukkot, 8 days. And now, in modern Jewish practice, we've been doing it for thousands of years, 2,000 years, we also add 1 day to these festivals. So we sing these Hallel psalms on every festival except Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And also we sing that text, part of the Hallel. The Hallel is 113 to 118. We sing those psalms on every new moon, 12 or 13 times a year. So quite a lot we sing this Hallel worship song, let's say that. And then we say, this is the day of the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be happy and rejoice in it. And that is a festival day. Now, of course, it speaks about the resurrection of the Messiah. So in a very special way, we could speak of the 3 days and three nights after Pesach, after Passover. That was the resurrection day of the Messiah. So that would be Omer Reshit, according to this, what we can see here. That the first presentation of the crops of the year, not the wheat, but the barley. The barley was presented 2 days after Pesach. And it's not easy to explain these things, but when Yeshua rose from the dead, it's obvious it was on the first day of the week, after Shabbat. And that day was Omer Reshit, and that's okay. that year. But Omer Rishit is not always on Sunday. It could be any day of the week. Could be, not today, but on that time it could be any day of the week. But that very year it was on Sunday. So, of course, we could have a reference there to the resurrection of Yeshua on the first day of the week. That's okay. But it's a very weak argument if we look at what is the Shabbat, because Shabbat was established from the creation to be a day of rest and day of worship, to sanctify, to set apart, to take that day especially for the Lord. So what happened in the 4th century, 300 years after Yeshua's resurrection, the Christian Catholic Church was created as a religion separated, and they wanted to separate themselves 100% from the Jewish faith, and they established Sunday worship as a replacement for the Shabbat worship. So the foundation in the Christian world is anti-Judaism. We don't want to worship on the same day as the Jewish people, so we have another day. And then they have the argument that that was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That's correct in one sense, but we don't have a good scripture foundation to change the worship day from Shabbat to Sunday. That is a very strong change, a very important change, and that change was made by the Catholic Church, and it's not enough scripture base. We don't have enough scripture base for that to change. Of course, you can worship any day of the week. You can be together. You can gather any day of the week and worship Hashem. But you can never ever replace the Shabbat for another day, because Hashem established the Shabbat as an eternal covenant with Israel. And from the creation, he said that he blessed the seventh day and he set it apart. He separated it and he consecrated the seventh day. So that's the only day of the week that has been blessed. And it's the only day of the week that has been set apart. That means it is a holy day. That's a holy, yes. God proclaimed that day as a holy day forever. And we don't have the authority to change that. So if you have the Shabbat from the creation and from the Jewish background, the understanding of the Shabbat, you will never ever accept to change that for another day. That is very, very strong attack against God's word. So, of course, we can celebrate the first day of the week as a week of happiness, because that day Yeshua rose from the dead. But we can never, ever use that as a substitution for the Shabbat. Because the Shabbat is it's 1,000 times more established in the scriptures. So we have to have a balance there. So now we can go to the next thing that you spoke about, the first day of the week. I said that right. You don't have in the scriptures enough evidence of a change from Shabbat to Sunday. When Yeshua rose from the dead, we can see in Luke 24 that he appeared to the people. And you need to know that the first day of the week is from the sunset to the sunset. So when Shabbat stops, when the sun goes down at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, the next day starts. The first day of the week is on Saturday night, right? Do we get that? That's very important for us to understand. The first day of the week is from Saturday night to Sunday night, Saturday evening to Sunday evening, from, let's say, from 6 o'clock p.m. on Saturday to 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday. That's a that's the first day of the week. We cannot understand the Bible with the Roman counting the day from 12 o'clock in the night. That's not a biblical way of counting the days. We have to start to count the day at the sunset. So when it says it's the first day of the week, it could be Saturday evening, Saturday night. We have to be very aware of that. So let's go to Luke 24.
Okay.
Let's see. 13. Okay, let's look Luke 24, verse 1. Says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. This is on Sunday morning. No problem.
Right.
And the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Yeshua. Okay. And then there came two angels. So this was when these men went to Emmaus. That very day, it says here, that very day. That means on the first day of the week.
Exactly.
The Roman world calls Sunday. Two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. So this could not be on Shabbat. Of course, because it was not permitted for a Jew to walk so far away from Jerusalem. It was forbidden, and it still is, for us to go out of a city and walk during Shabbat. We can only walk for 1 kilometer outside of the city. So this was not on Shabbat. It was first day of the week. That means that they did not rest that day. Okay? So they walked together, and he appeared to them, and they went back to the disciples, and they found them. They found their brothers gathered. And we need to know that this was the celebration of Passover. It was a week of festival in Jerusalem because of the Passover celebration. So they had meetings every day. They worshipped every day in the temple. They had special sacrifices in the temple during that week. So you cannot base your interpretation on this verse that they were gathered the first day of the week. Of course they were gathered because they were together in Jerusalem for the festival. And they had also a reason to be together and strengthen themselves because of being disciples of Yeshua. Of course they were together. They had a family relationship. Almost like a family. It was a disciple. Yeshua had a yeshiva. He had a school. So they were disciples. They were students in his yeshiva. He was a rabbi, and they were his students. So they were together. That's very normal. And they were gathered together, and the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Shimon. That's okay. This is not enough proof that they started to gather on Sunday and have worship on Sunday. Luke 24 is not enough. And they were talking about these things, and Yeshua, he stood among them and said to them, peace to you. Shalom Aleichem, in Hebrew. And that was on Sunday. That was on the first day of the week. No problem.
Dr. Black?
Yes.
Let me give you one more.
Yeah, we have many more.
That is also found in John chapter 2.
John chapter 20 verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Okay? No problem.
Right. Let's move to verse 19.
19.
Right.
On the evening on that day. Okay?
Good.
The first day of the week. The doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Yeshua came and stood among them and said to them, Shalom Aleichem. And then he showed his hand and his side. Okay? We don't have any evidence that this is a day of worship, right? They were together.
Right, that is correct. That is correct, but we were the Christian doctrine, the Christian foundation of Sunday worship. This is, to some people, this is the basic foundational scripture for Sunday worship, because there are a lot more that confirm that the disciples, because of the fear of the Jews, began to meet on Sundays, and Yeshua also revealed himself to them on Sundays usually. So we've been taught that this day became prominent among the disciples of Yeshua.
Yes.
So that is why we established the Sunday as the day of worship. To some of us, we did not replace it, but that one you said is true. I agree with you perfectly that there is a deliberate attempt of replacing the Shabbat with Sunday, but that is not correct. But the reason why we worship and we don't feel guilty, or we think that there is nothing wrong on Sunday worship, is the fact that the disciples of Yeshua began to meet on Sundays after the resurrection.
Well, I don't have any evidence of that. Why?
All right.
You don't have any scripture evidence of that. They established that day as a day of worship. And
yes,
they met
right.
That.
This is
Passover celebration. What we have here is the Passover celebration. 7 days. If you look at this sheet that I sent to you about the festivals of Israel.
Right.
You can see that Pesach starts on the 14th day. We have the sacrifice of Pesach. Then you have the celebration from the 15th to the 21st. 7 days celebration of Chag HaMatzot. That's the festival of the unleavened bread. It's also called a festival of Passover. And they were gathered for 7 days in Jerusalem for the festival. And of course they were together every day. And the first day of the week, that was the resurrection. And Yeshua showed himself to them, but that is not an evidence that they started to use that day as a day of worship. And there was a study made by a pastor, Samuele Bacciocci. It's called From Sabbath to Sunday, a historical investigation of the rise of Sunday observance in early Christianity. The Pontifical Georgian University Press, Rome, Italy, 1977. And he was studying the history of the Vatican library. And he showed with the historical evidence that is not true what you are speaking about. They did not take that day as a worship day. It came many, many years later. Many, many years later. And they tried to press this practice into the scriptures. But I say this is not enough evidence. You cannot find it in the scriptures as an evidence. Of course, they were together because of the festival. Now, it says here that Thomas, the twin, and 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. That could be on Sunday. And that could also be after Shabbat, right? 8 days later could be on the next Yom Rishon, the first day of the week. And we have to understand that during the, let's say here, on the first place, we need to know that these are all Jews. Yeshua is a Jew. His disciples are Jewish. And they, when it's written they had fear of the Jews, it's meant a special group of Jewish people. Not all the Jews. It's like, I don't want to go into the details, but we have to study that word also. Because we have to understand that everybody was a Jew there. So there were no Christians. No Christians whatsoever. Everybody was Jew. But when they came, when Yeshua came 8 days later, and they were inside again, okay, let's say, 8 days later, that would be 1 day after Shabbat, right? So if we know what Jewish people are doing during Shabbat, what does Jewish people do during Shabbat? That's a worship day for every Jew. It starts on Friday night, and you cannot work, you cannot lit light, you cannot cook, you cannot make fire, you cannot walk, you cannot travel. You can walk in the city, but you cannot travel outside of the city. So that's a day of rest and of worship and of study of Torah, and you go to the synagogue or to the temple and you listen to the readings of the scriptures. So everybody of the disciples were during the Shabbat in the synagogues, in the synagogue in this place, or in the temple in Jerusalem, celebrating Shabbat, and then they, after Shabbat, they gather together as disciples for Havdalah. Havdalah is the celebration we do when the Shabbat finishes. We lit a light, double or triple light, a candle, a double or triple candle, and we have some spices that are very good smell. And then we have wine, and we make a celebration of Havdalah to separate the Shabbat from the rest of the days of the week. And that we do on Saturday evening. When the sun goes down on Shabbat, after Shabbat, we make this celebration. And that is a time to be together. In this case, I believe that they went to the synagogue during the day. They were together with their other brothers and sisters, Jewish brothers and sisters, in the synagogues or in the temple. And then in the evening, they gathered together as disciples. And that was the first day of the week. That was after, just after Shabbat. And that we can find in the scriptures. But that was not Sunday. It was Saturday night. Because Sunday starts, according to Christian Roman calculation, at 12 o'clock in the night. 0 a.m. Or 12 p.m. Then Sunday starts. But if we want to go to the scriptures, we can see that they gathered after Shabbat. On the first day of the week, that means Saturday night when the sun goes down. That was a good time to get together, to have Havdalah, to celebrate, to pray together, because when we have the last service, we pray for the new week, we pray for prosperity, we pray for protection, and that's a good moment for the disciples to be alone together, because during the day they were in the synagogues or in the temple to celebrate the Shabbat together with all the Jewish people. But now they could be together in a special meeting on Saturday night after Shabbat. And that also is confirmed in the text we find in Acts 20-something. 20 verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. What is this? This is Saturday night. Just after Shabbat, when the sun goes down, that's the first day of the week. They were together in the evening, and they were breaking bread, and Paul was speaking with them. It was they were eating together. And he wanted to depart on the next day. That next day is Sunday morning. And he prolonged his speech until midnight, right? From Saturday evening to Saturday to midnight on the first day of the week. So it was midnight between Saturday and Sunday. There were many lamps in the upper room when we were gathered. So you can see here they had many lamps. That means...
because it is in the evening.
It is the evening, the night, right? So they were not gathered on Sunday.
Yes, that is correct.
They gathered on the Saturday night, because next day, the Sunday morning, he wanted to travel, because he was a Jew, Paul was a rabbi, and he rested on Shabbat, and after Shabbat, he left the prayer in synagogue and went to his brothers and sisters and had a meeting with them during Havdalah, when they had many lights and they ate together and they had a meeting. So that's very okay. So what I see in the scriptures is that during the Shabbat, the Jewish people were in the synagogues. And when the Shabbat was ended, the disciples of Yeshua, they gathered together in the evening, Saturday night. And that was the first day of the week. That's what I can see in the scriptures.
Yes, that is correct.
The first day of the week starts when the sun goes down on Saturday.
That is after 6 p.m.
Yes, when you can see 3 stars. That's the biblical way of counting days. So we have to leave what we said last time. The way of counting days is very important to understand the biblical time.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's very important to understand when the sun goes down, that's the start of the next day.
Yes.
That means that when we read the text in Acts 20, it will be very clear that it was not Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon they were together. It was on Saturday night.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the sheet I sent to you, showing the festivals of Israel.
That's right.
We had a general introduction last time about these festivals. And we spoke about the difference between the solar year and the lunar year. That the solar year has 365 days, and a quarter of a day, and the lunar year has 354 days. So we have 11 days difference between the 2 years. That means that the Jewish year, as it is based on the on this moon in first place, has to have an extra month every 2 or 3 years. So there are 13 months in the Jewish calendar, Jewish year, every 2 or 3 years. Because we have to celebrate Pesach when the barley is mature in the land of Israel. And that means that we have to respect also the solar cycle to be able to have a right celebration of the festivals of the Lord. So the Jewish calendar is in first place a lunar, a month, moon calendar, but is adjusted according to the sun year to be able to have the barley ready for the sacrifice of their barley, the presentation of the first fruits of the yearly crops of barley during Pesach, during the first festival of the year. We also spoke about the change that happened when Israel went out of Egypt, that the first month in the beginning was the seventh month, called Tishri, September, October. And when Israel went out of Egypt, God changed the calendar and made a shift of 6 months. And said to them, this month, the month of the Aviv, is the first month for you. So that was before the seventh month, but now it was changed to the first month of the year. And God wanted to show Israel that the liberation and the deliverance of Egypt is the start of a program. And this is very interesting. And I want to continue today with this thought. The first day, the first month, it's about March, April, in the springtime in Israel, is the month of redemption, the month of deliverance from the slavery in Egypt. And there is a very strong Jewish tradition saying in the month of Nisan, we were delivered. And in the month of Nisan, we will be delivered. The first redemption was in Nisan, and the last redemption will be in Nisan. And that has already happened, but most Jewish people are waiting for it. But we know that during the month of Nisan, Yeshua came. He was the sacrifice that God has prepared from before the creation of the world. He was the Lamb of God. He was the Pesach Lamb to be slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month. And that sacrifice was the reason and the foundation for the liberation, not only from slavery in this world, but from the slavery, the real slavery, that is the slavery of sin. Man is a slave of sin and of death. And this sacrifice of the Pesach Lamb, God's Son, the Son of Man, is the reason for the, not only the Jewish people, but all humanity, to be delivered from slavery, the real slavery that is a slavery from sin and death. And this is a very strong message in this festival about the death of the Messiah, the suffering Messiah. And you can have in the, you can see in these festivals a very strong program pointing on Yeshua, right, or on the Messiah. And you can find that also in the Rabbi Shaul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 16. where it says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Shabbat. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to the Messiah." Or you can say the body is the Messiah. That means the body that projects these shadows, or this shadow. These are shadows of the things to come. But the body that is giving these shadows, or this shadow, is the Messiah. The body, the Greek text says there, the body. The body is the Messiah. So the body of the Messiah is projecting this shadow, and the shadow has to do with the festivals. So when you celebrate these festivals, you are studying or experiencing the shadow of the body of the Messiah. And you are proclaiming, and you are living, and you are celebrating things that are prophetic, things to come. And this is a good translation. These are things to come. Shadows of things to come. So when you are celebrating a festival, you are proclaiming a thing that will come in the future. Also the new moon. It speaks about the future. It speaks about the Messiah. And the Shabbat is speaking about the Messiah. How can a Shabbat speak about the Messiah? Because God created this world during 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. And one day is symbolizing 1,000 years. So there will be 6,000 years of work and 1,000 year of rest in the world we are living in. And now we are very close to the seventh millennium from Adam. 6,000 years ago, Adam and Eve were created. And now we are coming very close to the seventh millennium. And that is the time of the reign of the Messiah, when the King Messiah will be on the earth for 1,000 years, ruling from Jerusalem over all the nations. So there will be 6 days of sin, of problems with the death, poverty, sicknesses, everything we are experiencing now during these 6,000 years. And then when the Messiah comes back, we will have peace for 1,000 years. So when we celebrate Shabbat, we are really proclaiming the second coming of the Messiah and the coming world of 1,000 years on this earth with peace together with him. And all the festivals are speaking about the future. Now, when we see the first month and the third month on this calendar, we can see a group of festivals. We have Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, Omer Reshit, and Shavuot. In English, we would say Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the first fruits of the barley, the first fruit of the barley, and then Shavuot is the week, the festival of weeks, Pentecost. The word Pentecost comes from the Latin word 50. And we have 50 days between Pesach and Shavuot. Really, it's 7 weeks. We have to count the day after the weekly Shabbat during the feast, or the first day of the festival and count 7 weeks, and the day 50 after 7 weeks is the day of Shavuot, the day of the Pentecost. So this is a group of festivals. This is a first packet. And this speaks about the first coming of the Messiah, the first visitation from heaven when God sent his son out to the world. God's son was born by a woman, and then that man was sent out by God to the world, to the Jewish people and the world. So this group of festivals, spring, summer, speak about his first coming. The next group, the festivals on the fall, on the autumn, the seventh month in Israel, September, October, we have a group of festivals also. Yom Teruah is the biblical name, and nowadays we call it Rosh Hashanah, this first day of the seventh month. This is the New Year celebration. Why? Because that day Adam and Eve were created, as we spoke about last time. And that is the day of judgment. That's the day of the proclamation of the king. Because the first thing that Adam did when he was created was to proclaim that God was his creator and his king. So that's the day of the kingdom. That's why sound the shofar. That's a ram's horn. And we have a sound proclaiming the kingship of God over the creation. And then we have a sound called teruah, that means a waking up sound, like an alarm. And it sounds like this is an alarm sound. That's the teruah sound. But first, before we speak, we sound the teruah sound, we proclaim the kingship of the Creator. It sounds like the doo-doo. That's like the majestic proclamation of the kingship of the Creator. And then we give the teruah sound. That means wake up. If you are sleeping, you have to wake up and recognize that God is your Creator and He's the judge. And you are responsible for your life, and you will be before him on his day of judgment. Now is the day of judgment. He's coming to judge the creation. And that's the day of Yom Teruah. And this proclamation of the creation of the world and the judgment of the world is starting on the first day of the seventh month. And then we have Yom Kippur. That's the 10th day of the seventh month. Historically, that was the day when Moses went down from Sinai with the new two tablets of stone tablets. And God made a new covenant with his people. Because Moses broke the first covenant, really it was the people that made a golden calf and worshipped another god, they broke the covenant, but God forgave his people because of the intercession of Moses. Moses went up to the mountain the first day of Elul, the first day of the sixth month. And he was 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain asking God to forgive his people. And he came back the 10th day of the seventh month. That's Yom Kippur. That was the day when God said, forgive my people their sins. And that day, from that time, has been a day of forgiveness. In the temple, God established very, very important sacrifices for that day, because that day, all the sins during all the year were redeemed, were atoned. God forgave the sins for the people. And he wrote the future, and he writes the future in his books during the day from Yom Teruah until Yom Kippur. That's a time of 10 days. That is a very important time in Jewish tradition. It's called in Hebrew Yamim Hanoraim. That means the tremendous days, when God is searching his creation, and we have a judgment for 10 days. And on the first day, on Yom Teruah, on Rosh Hashanah, if you have repented from your sins, he writes your name in the Book of Life. If you are evil, you did not repent, he writes your name in the Book of Death. And if you are between, then you are not written in any book yet. And during these 10 days, God is trying you. He's testing you to see if you want to repent. And then it comes to Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, he's asking everybody to repent. That's the day of atonement, the day of repentance. And everybody goes to synagogue and ask for forgiveness for their sins. Everybody has to fast. This is a fasting day. Yom Kippur is a fasting day. Everybody has to fast. That was yesterday. Yesterday we had Yom Kippur. Everybody was fasting without eating or drinking for 25 hours. Almost every Jew in Israel were in the synagogue and in all the world. Because that's the most important day of the year. The most holy day of the year, when God says, I want you to be in my presence because I want to cleanse you from all your sins. And I will write you in the books and decide how next year will be for you. From this Yom Kippur to next Yom Kippur, I will decide your future. So people are very aware of this. Every Jew is aware of this. Even the secular Jews has Yom Kippur as a very special day. Nobody's working. Nobody is working. Everybody is resting. And of course, many people are eating because they don't fear God. But it's according to the law, according to the Torah, it's obligatory. The Jew has to fast that day. And the one who does not fast will be cut off from his people. So that's a day of judgment. That's the final day of judgment. And during these days, every Jew is saying to his brother, Chatima Tova, or Gmar Chatima Tova. That means good, it means a good writing or a good signature or a good gmar. That means a final gmar chatima tova. That means I wish you to have a final sentence of goodness. That means that I wish that God will sign that this year for you will be a year of prosperity, of life, of health, and all these good things that we wish between each other. So if somebody dies from Rosh Hashanah or after Yom Kippur, we believe that God wrote his name in the Book of Death during these days. Because all the creatures, every created man and woman, during these 10 days are written in the Book of Life or in the Book of Death. So God decides if you shall live one more year or you will die during this year that comes. These are very important days. And he also decides how much money you will get, how much prosperity you will have in your ministry, how your family will be. Everything is decided during these days for 1 year. So that's why many Jews are repenting and coming back to God, asking Him to help them because they want a better life next year. Okay, Sukkot, 5 days later. During Yom Kippur, God forgives our sins. Now we don't have a sacrifice, but when we had the temple, there were several very powerful sacrifices that took away the sins of the people of Israel. And today we only have to ask for God's mercy and ask Him to use our prayers like sacrifices. And then Sukkot, the 15th day of the 7th month, 5 days later, we start the celebration, 7-day celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And then God orders us to live outside of our homes. We cannot live in our houses. We have to go out of our houses and live in tabernacles, in booths. And that is a time to remember when we were in the wilderness between Egypt and the land of Israel. 7 days of remembrance of the time of the wandering in the desert, in the wilderness. And then we have the eighth day of the festival. That's the 22nd day of the 7th month. It's called Shmini Atzeret in Hebrew. That means the 8th day of conclusion. The 8th day of conclusion. So that is a festival beside Sukkot. Sukkot is 7 days. It finishes the 21st day when the sun goes down. And then the 8th day, that is a new festival called Shmini Atzeret. It's also called Simchat Torah. That means the happiness of the Torah. And it's a little bit different in Israel and in the countries outside of Israel. This festival, according to the Torah, you have it in Leviticus 23. You have all these festivals in Leviticus 23. You can read it and you should read it. Please read it before we have the next class. Leviticus 23, that's very important. You have all these here. And in the scripture, you have only the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret. But when Jews were expelled from the land of Israel, and they have been living outside of the land for almost 2,000 years, they decided to celebrate this day 2 days. And also Shavuot, 2 days. That's why I put it in parentheses. You see 50th and 51st day. And you see here 15th to 21 or and 22 in parentheses. That means that all the festivals that the Torah establishes for the year, we add 1 day extra for the Jews living outside of Israel. Except Yom Kippur, because that is the fasting day. We don't fast 2 days. That would be killing people, right? Some people would die. So all these days, first day of Chag HaMatzot, Shavuot, Yom Teruah, the last day of Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret, are 2 days celebration instead of one. And inside of Israel, we have 1 day celebration except Yom Teruah, except Rosh Hashanah. 2 day celebration of Rosh Hashanah. That's the only festival that has an extra day in the land of Israel. But if we study the scriptures, we can find the Messiah in all these festivals. His first coming during the first group of festivals, he fulfilled these festivals when he came the first time. And when he comes back, he will fulfill the second group. That's why our conviction is that Yeshua will come back on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the first day of the seventh month. That's the day of blowing the shofar, the horn, the trumpet. That's why it's called, it's in the scriptures, you can find many references to his second coming, referencings with a trumpet or a shofar, because it's not really a trumpet, it's a horn from an animal.
Okay.
And those references are speaking about Yom Teruah. Very important. So Yom Teruah is the day of the second coming of the Messiah. And then when he comes back, there will be a judgment, first of all, over the people of Israel and the newborn people among the nations, God's family. And then the judgment will pass over the nations. And that's why we have 10 days here. It takes time, the judgment. And I don't know if it will be 10 days when Yeshua comes back, or 10 weeks, or 10 months, or 10 years. I don't know how much time the judgment will take. I don't know. I don't think it will be 10 years. But there will be a time of judgment. That's why you see the word 10 in Revelation. God will test you for 10 days, right? That's a time of testing. So after this judgment and also wars, he will make wars against the enemies of Israel, and he will establish a kingdom of peace for 1,000 years. That's the celebration of Sukkot. Sukkot represents the celebration of the weddings of the bride and the Messiah for 1,000 years. And Sukkot is a time of passing from one stage to another, from the exodus of Egypt to the land of Israel. But it's not the house. Sukkot is a boot place. It's a tabernacle place. You don't live in your house. It's just a celebration of the wedding. And the bridegroom and the bride will be living in a tabernacle for 1,000 years. Like, it's just, we speak about in a allegorical way. And then, after the Sukkot festival, there will be new heavens and new earth. And that's Shmini Atzeret. And then you have also this picture of seven days of Sukkot, and 8th day. This is the 8th day. Shmini means the 8th. Atzeret means conclusion. And if you see 7, that means 7,000 years, and then you have 8, the 8th millennium. On that day, on that 1,000th day, let's say that, if we speak one day as 1,000 years, 1,000-year day, there will be new heavens and new earth, and the new Jerusalem will come from heaven to earth. Because if you see in the book of Revelation, the new Jerusalem will come after the millennium, after the 1,000 years. And that is the house. The new Jerusalem is the house for the bride. The Messiah's bride will have a house, but during the 1,000 year, she will not get her house, because it's only a celebration of the wedding. That's Sukkot. So you have all kind of prophetic shadows in these festivals. We have a lot of more things to study here. We have many, many wonderful things in these festivals. So this is a very short introduction to understand that all the program of the redemption and the Messiah is baked into these festivals of Israel. So the people, the Jewish people, who are living these festivals year by year by year. We are really proclaiming the Messiah without most of the Jews don't know that.
Yeah.
And we know that he came during Pesach. You know, when he came to Jerusalem, he said, he cried over the city, right? And this is a very strong thing. This is marvelous. He said, if you would have known this day, what would have given you peace? But now it's hidden from your eyes. You don't understand this day. What was that day? That day was the 10th of the first month. The 10th day of the first month. What was that day in the Jewish calendar? That day was the day when the Pesach lamb was appointed to be slaughtered. Every family, every group of people that would eat the Passover, they had the 10th of the first month to decide which lamb should be sacrificed the 14th day of the same month, 4 days later. And this is very interesting. So they would know that Yeshua would come to Jerusalem that very day. He was the lamb. And that day he was appointed to be the sacrifice. And he was killed on the 14th day of the month. So he was the fulfillment of this prophecy that they were doing every year. During thousands of years they had been doing that celebration, and now he was fulfilling it. And say, you should know this day. There were enough prophetical signs for them to know that that very day he would come into Jerusalem as the lamb to be slaughtered the 14th of the same month. And that's also very interesting. If you see the 10th and the 14th, and we see 4 days. We can count 4 days from the 10th to the 14th. We can count 5 days or 4 days, but let's say 4 days. 4 days means 4,000 years. So the Lamb of God was to be slaughtered 4,000 years later, after he was appointed to be the lamb, the Passover lamb. And that is according to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8. It says, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. That's the false Messiah, the beast. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Okay. This text can be translated in a different way. You have two different versions of this verse. This says that they have been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb. But if you see, if you read the King James Version, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. You have two ways to understand the Greek text here. Both are correct. You can understand it as people were written in the book before the foundation of the world. That's okay. But also you can understand it as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that also is according to what Rav Shimon Kefa, Peter, the Apostle Peter, he says that the lamb was appointed before but has now been revealed. So if he was appointed as the lamb to be slain before the foundation of the world, or from the foundation, before the creation, that means 4,000 years before he was slain. And that is according to the 10th of the first month when the lamb was In every house, they said, this lamb we will slaughter the 14th of this month, 4 days later. So it's a very beautiful prophetic picture of Yeshua.
Yeah.
This is so wonderful. When we go into details of these festivals, we can see that God revealed all the redemption program of the Messiah in the Jewish festivals. So you need to celebrate them. You need to understand them. You need to feel them. And when you do it in your congregation, you will understand the prophetic word of God in a very deep way, a wonderful way.
Yeah. Yes.
What about Shavuot? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is 50 days after Omer Rashid. Well, these are very deep things that we could go into. We don't have time today. But this is the conclusion. The word Shavuot, it means weeks in Hebrew, the Pentecostal celebration. Because we are counting every day from the day after the Shabbat. We start to count 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 1 day, 2 weeks, and etc. We count 49 days and we count seven weeks, sorry. And then the next day is Shavuot. So Shavuot is connected to the Passover celebration. Shavuot is connected to Omer Reshit, when the first fruits of the barley was presented in the temple as a sacrifice. That day is the first day of counting, and 50 days later we have the celebration of the reaping of the wheat and the crops in Israel. And this is the first fruit celebration, Shavuot. And this is the conclusion of Pesach. Shavuot is the conclusion of Pesach. And that means that when the disciples were in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, they received the results of the death and the resurrection of the Messiah. And here we have so much to speak about. Because that very day he went into the temple, in the heavenly temple, the tabernacle in the heavens, and he put his blood there. And he was appointed as the high priest in the heavenly tabernacle as the Melchizedek high priest. And the Spirit came over him as a priest, and the same Spirit came down to the earth, and that was the conclusion of the work that he did when he came the first time. That's Shavuot. And that was the time when the Torah was given in the wilderness. Shavuot was the conclusion of the deliverance from Egypt. The 14th day of the first month, when they sacrifice the Pesach lamb, and they use the blood in Egypt to cover their houses, they were delivered from death. Every firstborn was delivered from death. Then they were delivered from the slavery, and they went out, and they were walking for 49 days, and they came to Sinai, and they received the Torah on Shavuot. And that was the conclusion of the deliverance from Egypt. So we have a very similar experience with the people of Israel and the Messiah. And that's also for the people who are his disciples. We also experience the same thing here. So there are many different angles we can look at these festivals and be very rich in our spiritual understanding.